Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
It's Tommy Pendram, right here on the Live Paranormal Radio Network. Please find us at liveparanormal.com and all of our syndicators, iHeartRadio.com, Google Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Podomatic, Player FM, Blog Talk Radio. I know there are more that I am missing, but that's as many as I have memorized. I'm your host, Sheena Metal. I'm a psychic medium. I'm an interfaith minister. I'm a 27-year talk radio host, and this is Haunted Playground at hauntedplayground.com every Wednesday at 5 o'clock Pacific time. We are here with you and sharing all ideas, spiritual, paranormal, artistic, humane. I like to gather folks from all communities that I love today from my beautiful artistic community and that are also wonderfully spiritual people or people who've encountered the paranormal and get them to talk about how the spiritual plays into their artistic lives. And my guest today is certainly no exception to that. He's a wonderfully talented writer, producer, director, performer. He's done so many things in his life, and he's also a brilliantly spiritual person. And although he's been on my show many times, many of my shows, I think this is his first time on this show. So please welcome to Haunted Playground, the wonderful Billy Clist is here. How are you, my friend? It's so great to talk to you. So great to hear your voice.
I'm wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you so much. And it's so great to hear your voice. It's been forever, of course, as we all have been away in a way.
We had a little tiny pandemic happening, and it kept us apart. I'll tell you something kind of interesting. I don't like – I tell the truth about to people when technical things happen. So Billy and I were doing a show, and it shut itself down, and we're restarting it. And I have to tell you something interesting, Billy, from a spiritual perspective, that has only happened to me three times here on the show. The first time it happened, friends of mine who are paranormal investigators and I were talking about whether or not you should bully spirits. And right in the, and they were talking about how in the past on their Discovery Channel show, they had done that. And right in the middle of that, the thing just cut off and it was done. That was towards the end of the show, so we just ended it. The second time was when my friend Andrea Perrin and I, Andrea's family was the subject of the film The Conjuring. And when we were talking about how history treats the acceptance of the paranormal differently when a man's telling the story and when a woman's telling the story. We were talking about how her mother got more bullied than her father in telling the story of their life in that house, and boom, everything shut down. So this time, you and I were talking about the rise of fascism and how it can happen again, and boom, we were done. So it's interesting how technology has an energetic essence to it, right?
Totally, totally. And that it, well, it's all electrical, right? Everything is electricity and energy constantly moving and flowing, and it just it can fry out in a way.
Right.
And
right.
To me, that's just saying truth too. Often, you know, it's just hitting such a high spark of truth when we're saying something like that, and it throws us off. And And it's almost like, okay, you got to restart now because you just it just hit so many notes inside your body and in the universe, you know. So that's cool.
But I think we should talk about it again, and I think we should do it right now. I want to hear about the film you were talking about and about energetically, you know, how that's affecting the world. And we probably won't get caught up a second time because that's never happened. So here we go.
Well, I'll start out with the first film that I've just been working on right now, the feature film. It's called Here We Are, and it is a film that we started before COVID, and it was cut off. And so we've been doing, in the last 6 months now, we've been doing 2 days a month because that was the easiest way for me to fit it in and everybody else to financially get this feature going on. And it's about racism. It's about the Me Too movement. It's about the Black Lives Matters movement. And it's about four people who are going through COVID. And we ended up writing it and putting all of that into it because it forced these four people to change where they were going completely and start looking at what they really wanted to do and how they really wanted to behave and how they really wanted to show up in the world, because it brought so much stuff. Because, of course, when you're sitting there at home, you do a lot of thinking and you do a lot of remembering, and it takes so much time sometimes to heal things that have happened in the past. And that's what these characters are doing. And they start moving forward to something that is on, if you want to call it, just like you call this the raising the vibration, as all of a sudden it hits them to understand to start raising the vibration, which is, I think, a lot of people are doing. And that has been the positive, I would say, that the COVID has done. And that's exciting, really. You know, and then the other project that we were talking about, the Holocaust project, is about a young gay boy who was in the Holocaust. And he got in when he was young and came out, you know, like 6 years later. And it's a true story. And we are fortunate to have an actual Holocaust survivor play him as the older gentleman talking about what it was. And then we go into the story. And I'm also writing the feature on that. And I just knew how crucial it was during what's going on in the universe with that that energy of who that being was who was in office there for 4 years. Is that mindset, he struck a chord with a lot of people, and that is continuing. And so it is crucial that we show the other side to that, for the people that are somewhat complacent. That they need to know that they need to take a stand. We need to take a stand. We cannot be complacent. And that's what happened in Germany, is the people just said, well, you know. And I was just having a conversation with him because it just got an award for Best Picture from a new award company called the Impact Awards. And they're giving awards to projects or films that are making an important statement for humanity. And I was so proud to be given the short film award for that last Tuesday, and our Holocaust survivor was there with it, and we were talking about it with a whole bunch of people. Now we're saying, well, what do you do with those people who are that are so still connected with that other energy? How do you deal with that? But what if they're a nice person? He said they're a nice person, but they don't agree with you on this and this and this and that. But is why Hitler came into power, because they all went, oh, well, but he's going to help our economy. Of course, they didn't know that they were killing Jews, but they knew that something negative was happening. They were putting them in camps, and they were blaming them, but he was going to fix the economy. And it was wonderful to hear him say that, because you can't be so easy about that. Anyway, these are the things that I feel that are crucial for me as a person, and what I can do to assist in any way possible to change or move the energy forward in another way. And that's what I'm dedicating my life to.
That's beautiful. Now, when you did your documentary, you mentioned that in our first run that the Demons Killed show just before this. You mentioned the documentary Long Road to Freedom that you did. There was something happened when you did that film, right? It changed you.
Oh, it totally did. It really, that was my reminder, so to speak. It's something that's always been in me, that I wanted to do things that could shift and help. But that really made me, it took me where I needed to go, in understanding that I needed to be doing projects that everything that I do has got to be towards that. Yes, I don't mind doing a silly comedy like some of my early stuff, because actually that's healing as well, as we all know. Comedy is incredibly healing. It's really crucial because making a movie or making a short or making anything like this takes so much time. And of course, you know, I'm shooting it myself. It's my cameras. I'm writing it with somebody else, but I'm writing it. And then I'm bringing the vision to life, of course, with lots of other people, because you never do anything alone. But then I'm sitting there for months and months editing it and reliving it and reforming it. And so this energy is you've got to be very selective on what you're going to be spending all your time on, as you can imagine, and what you're breathing into the project. And so that's what I'm doing now. Is everything I'm trying to do is I'm looking at how can I breathe into the next project, and I do. I've got so many things going on, and it's very exciting, and it's working. That's the exciting part. It's working, you know.
That's beautiful, and it's interesting, right? How once you step into your place of service, and like you said, not that we weren't all serving people when we were doing things that were funny and entertaining, because that's a different kind of service. But there's something about when you step into your place of service that spirit's kind of like, okay, get ready for the change. Here it comes. And you
jump into that wave. It's that wave of energy and you feel like you're on that wave, and it's just right behind you, and it's pushing you forward.
Yeah. Absolutely true. And it's there really kind of is no coming back from that, right? I mean, that was the journey for me, right? Was changing my whole life. We talked a little bit in our redo that, again, got the technology killed, our original, this is our redo, about limits on grieving. And you know, when my mom died, I thought I was going to die also. I was just wandering around all of 2016, surprised I was still here. But from that came my call to service. From that came me realizing why I was really here and changing my life to be a part of that. And that was an amazing journey for me. So sometimes from the worst things, right? Look how many beautiful things people have created during COVID. Sometimes from the worst stuff, the best stuff comes.
I think that's
beautiful.
That's normal. It is. It is, and it shows you all the positivity that will continue to spark from all of that, you know. And that's, again, that's what that the feature that I'm doing is about, that these characters all change their path. And that's very, very exciting. And I know that a lot of people did the exact same thing. I mean, that's the reason why there are so many job possibilities out there, is because there are jobs that are paid poorly and work that doesn't fulfill. And people don't want to go back to that. And that is actually an amazing epiphany for people to have. We were also talking about death and things like that, and how COVID, and how these kinds of things are going to affect us beyond our comprehension, and how long it's going to take. And as I said in our rehearsal, that we have to give grace to those people who it takes longer. Because we, you know, and as I said, we can't impose our perceptions of how long it takes for somebody to get over something, because we all process differently. And our society wants everybody to process things the way it wants to, which is quickly and next, thank you. And that's just not real. We've all got to give people a lot more grace. Is how I'm talking, of course, only as my observation and what I'm doing for myself for others, you know, is to, you know, calm down and let them do what they need to do.
I agree with you.
I have two friends who recently I saw, and we were all very, very close. And one of them visited the other, and I was not there. And this was just a couple of months ago. Still, you know, with COVID right at our tail, one of them became ill, and the other one didn't really handle it well. And I was just like, well, you know, we just went through a whole bunch of crap. It kind of screws with the way we handle reality and the way we handle things. You got to give them a break, you know. You've been a close friend of theirs for like 25 years, and so they didn't show up the way you think they should show up. But, you know, they could be broken down. You know, they could be just raw, and they just don't know how to deal with the things that they normally would be able to deal with, the way they typically could jump into form. And we just got to give these people a break, you know?
I couldn't agree more. And I think that we're all numb. I think we're all a little depressed. I think for those of us who lean towards anxiety, a lot of our anxiety has come back because all those nice
yes.
people skills that we worked to build up are now gone. You know what
yeah.
I mean? I mean, everybody's kind of figuring out how to re-enter the world. It's like we're all sort of newborns. And
we're
trying
to figure out
how to go back to life and what life looks like for us now.
Yeah. What do we want it to
look
like? No. And now we understand that the world is different and it's not going to go back. COVID's not going to go away. And there's going to be something else that happens later. Yes, it's going to be, you know, we're in a place where it's more, we can deal with it more and we understand it more, but there's going to be something else, and they know that. Something else will pop up, and we're going to have another problem. It's just the way life and the world is going to be from now on. And so we've got to just, you know, flow better. Flow better with all of this. This is a new reality.
Yeah, it's true, right? This is our new reality.
Yeah.
This is what we have to get used to now, and not be resentful of it or be angry or why, but think, well, what was the reason and what are we all learning from it and how can we grow into more, you know, more in tune people because of it?
Yeah. And the reality is that we were in a false reality for a lot of it anyway, because the things that were happening around the world were still happening. So many things that we don't even want to discuss at this moment because we know what we're talking about. Just so many terrible things all over the globe were consistently happening. It's not like it just all of a sudden started happening worse. It's just that we started becoming more aware. We're also in a world of technology where we can hear about something that happens instantly in another part of the world, and all of a sudden we go, oh my God, that's happening there, but I don't know what to do with that. And it's so in some ways it's always been happening to a degree. I think relating. I think things are moving faster. And the perfect mirror of that is technology moving so quickly. You know that iPhone is no longer is as exciting after a year later because the new one does even more, and that's the universe now. You know, everything is excelling. And so it's kind of like we have to step back and just kind of like breathe a little bit more, you know, so that we can take care of ourselves. Just like you said about any health and how COVID had affected you in our rehearsal, that it just forced you and it's a positive to make you stop and take care of yourself more. Just in general, we have to take care of ourselves more.
Yeah, it made me realize a lot. It's you know, as an empath, and I know I'm preaching to the choir when I talk about that with you, I think empaths we're naturally by nature very people-pleasy. And I noticed that once I was away from people completely in the beginning, except for my partner and her family, I learned how much in my life I had been sort of programmed to put up with everybody else's isms, you know? I was my mama would have said malarkey, but I'm going to say isms because I thought I had to be the one to make the peace all the time. And what I realized was that it wasn't really serving me. And it wasn't good for me, and it was inhibiting my ability to help and heal other people, and that wasn't good.
Yeah.
You know, I have a friend who was a pretty well-known child actor as a kid, and he told me the most wonderful thing once. He said that when he was a kid, he learned to do anything he had to get the role, and it made him great as an actor and a musician, but it didn't benefit him in his personal relationships, because he was always trying to get the role. And I thought about it at the time he said it 10 years ago, and you know, our birthdays are 2 days apart, and I realized that that was also me. That's that Aries, people-pleasing, what can I do to make this all better? I really realized during that COVID break how much I still did that and how many people were in my outer periphery that just really didn't belong there. They just weren't. They were not feeding my soul. And, you know, when you do artistic work every day as you do, or when you do spiritual work every day as I do, you have to be grounded and attached to your center in order to do the work that you do. And folks that have negative and toxic energies, they're just very much pulling you away from that. And it's not benefiting you. It's not benefiting the people that you work with. It's not benefiting your audience. It's not benefiting anything. It's not benefiting the world or spirit. It's just you continually compromising. And I'm not saying life isn't compromised, because boy, is it ever. But one person shouldn't always be compromising with everyone in their lives.
Your friend was talking about, is that you constantly want to fix everything. And that's an incredibly empathic thing, is because we're so sensitive. As soon as we walk into a room, we know when somebody or something is off.
Right.
And we immediately want to come in and fix it.
Right.
Instead of turning around and walking out.
Exactly, and we wind up with a lot of people in our lives, right? Not just in our primary relationships, but in friends and in family, who are not doing any of the work because they figure we're just going to take care of it for them.
Right.
And we get exhausted. And there was one thing I realized during COVID that I didn't know until COVID, was that I was exhausted. And I mean, not just because I had COVID, because that was exhausting.
No, no.
But, and I had COVID about a month before the quarantine. So when we were still what's going on? But just I realized how tired I was. And, you know, I was never in my house. And I came down to the beach to stay with my girlfriend where I grew up. And I just realized, wow. I don't think I had been at home that much since I was like 14. And I realized that my whole life was about running, being in service, which is great, but you also need time to feed yourself. And I just wasn't giving myself. And that's also taking a pause from energies that honestly just don't resonate with you. It's okay to say, my best friend has a great expression, namaste away. It's okay to say, you know, I wish you well, but not here. And it was hard for me. And I look when you were telling the story in our rehearsal about people telling you, aren't you done grieving yet? I had a person in my periphery and that I no longer have, who I thought was a very dear friend at one point, who literally right after my mom died said, basically insinuated that my grieving was bringing him down, and then took the liberty of saying that my talking about my mom all the time through my Raising the Vibration movement, which I founded on her teaching, through trying to honor her by mentioning her on the shows, was actually making it seem like I was trying to get attention or cash in on her death. And at the time I was mortified, because I think I always tell my clients this, right, Billy? An empath always says, what did I do? And a narcissist always says, what did you do? So we always take responsibility for everybody's stuff. Now I look back at that comment and I think, you know, what kind of an a-hole But at the time I thought, oh my God, is that what, am I doing that? So I think COVID has broken me of that habit of always feeling like I need to ask, what did I do and how can I fix it? I think those of us that are fixers, and we need to find the right place for our fixing, right? The healthy place for our fixing. And
exactly.
Healing people, the healthy place. But
yeah,
not necessarily
exactly.
Taking on everybody's stuff, because that's not a healthy place, right?
No, it's not. And it is interesting on how I do feel at times that it is my job to take on some stuff of others. And then there's times, like, I don't know what it is, but there's something where I do believe there's some kind of process I have to do to assist them in their process. And then there's those that you do and you only harm yourself, if that makes any sense to you. It's like we came into that moment and be with that individual to assist in their process as well as it assists us, right? Everything is balanced. Everything's for both of us, always. I do know sometimes I come into life to take on some of their shit and assist them in seeing what that is. It's just part of the world and part of us as empaths, and that's the reason why we are and psychic and all the different aspects of what that is, because it's so much bigger than people really comprehend. These names don't really show the whole aspect of what that means. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
absolutely true. And I'm glad you said the psychic word and referred to yourself. So I remember right after my mama died, when not only were my gifts, Spirit was pushing my gifts at me, like, remember these? What are we going to do with these? But also,
right.
I inherited her gifts when she passed. And I know that sounds crazy, but about an hour
no,
after
it's because
she passed,
it's who you are. That energy went into
right.
you. That part is, it was who you
exactly.
are.
Exactly. I kind of got her gifts and mine. I felt her gifts just download into me, and I learned
right.
so much
and
about her.
And because she's
that,
there
that
all
six,
the time. I mean, she's...
Right.
She stands right.
right
next to you as she is right now.
Of course she is. Yeah, yes. And she
yeah.
does all the work with me. And I realized after
yeah.
that first 6 months or so of wandering around stupefied that our connection really wasn't that much different than when she was alive, because we're still together all the time. It's just that
right.
now she's not physically there. But we always
yeah.
lived an hour apart. We weren't all physically together anyhow. So I think if more people thought of death like that. Anyway, that same year, right, you and I were at an artistic function, and I remember everybody wanted to go down the street to the bar. So everybody's at the bar, and somehow you and I just kind of fell into this conversation about our gifts. And I hadn't really told that many people about my gifts. I don't know how many people you told, but I hadn't told that many people. And it was really beautiful to find that kindred thing in us. Not that our love of humanity and service and people and art and all that wasn't already a connection. But I appreciate you being so honest with me at that time, because that wasn't a conversation a lot of people wanted to have with me at that time. And it was nice. And I think that a lot of artists have it, because it's the same channel that we tap into for art, right? It's the same channel that we tap into for...
Yeah, imagination. Imagination. It's
yeah.
Just, totally, totally. And that's really interesting for you to... that's so sweet, because I remember that as soon as you say it. I remember that moment we were sitting off by ourselves at a high top and talking about that. And it just seemed normal to me to be having that conversation with you. So so that's very sweet. I'm happy that that happened.
Yeah, and I think it made us a lot closer, because I think that's how it happens when you sort of find part of your soul family, right? Part of your soul pod that
exactly.
travels around with you. And
exactly.
So for you, what has it been like for you growing up in the entertainment industry and being, you know, a successful artist in many different genres? What has it been for you to what was the journey like of letting people know that you also had spiritual gifts?
Well, you're sensitive to the fact of, I do know that not everybody is available to listen or hear information like that. And so I think what I've realized that it's just kindness that I need to use often for some people, because kindness can be incredibly magical. And then those people you kind of bump into, you know that you can talk a little bit about that because they may be questioning stuff that's happening to them. And I think it goes back to, there was a time, of course, where I did stop everything and I taught meditation and I did retreats and I put those on in Vancouver and in Washington State and Victoria, Canada, and I did very, very much so go very deep into my spiritual practices. And then I realized, though, there was a moment where I realized that that's not where I wanted to be as well. I needed to bring and pull that more into just who I was, and I didn't necessarily need to talk about it. I just needed to be it. And that was my, that's what I needed to know for myself. And that's how I've learned, or what, that's what seemed to have come up with it all, is just to be. So that's what I'm doing. That's where I am at this moment in time. And of course, utilizing my art and constantly working on becoming more fine-tuned and better at that is what I'm doing. So
that's beautiful. That's where I was most of my life until my mom passed, and I sort of got the calling that now's the time to do this. And when people say, "Oh, how come you suddenly are this?" I always say, "Well, I always say it's like I'm wearing my." That tour where Madonna wore her underwear on the outside. Like, it's always who I was. It's just that now people see it.
Exactly. And it's never not. It's just, you know, and that's beautiful. And I'm so, and where I can hear you is you're very different than you were before COVID. And I'm really feeling it and loving it. And it's because the you have the struggle before of how to balance that, and now I feel like you're really being who you are, and that's very exciting to me.
Thank you.
And to the planet, because I really feel a
complete
difference.
Isn't that funny? I don't feel any different. I feel just the same, but I was I was out and about in a rare place to be out and about. And I ran into my friend Dee Wallace, who is also a great spiritual teacher and an artistic person at the same time. And she just kind of took my head in her hands and said, "Oh my God, your vibration is so different." And it's funny because I just think like, "Oh, I had COVID and I still cough all the time and hurt all the time and ache all the time." I don't think like that I'm different. But for her to say that, and then for you to say that, both of you being people that I admire so much in both your art and your spirituality, I guess there's something going on. And I really also think it's being in service, you know, being a minister, working as a spiritual counselor, working with clients all day long. It's a friend a long time ago that was a healer, a psychic that used to say, when you give a healing, you get a healing. And I think that's very much true. And I think for spending so much time healing people, the healings come back, right? And they change you. Every life
right.
you touch changes you, just like every time you do anything, Billy, right? As a creative entity, you're changed.
constantly, and it's a constant movement. And your friend is totally right. It's as I said, that everything's for both of us, or whoever, all of us actually. It seems even as small as just two people who are shifting each other, but the ramifications, the pebble in the pool effect, is always there and always does, and that's so exciting. So, good job.
Yeah,
I know it may not seem any different, but you know, it's a process though to change the, you know, get on that track. You know what I mean? There's always this thing that you see where you have to jump over, but for some reason there's some kind of a vibrational change that has to once you finally get on that track. And that's what I'm seeing in you, is that you saw, oh, this is where I'm supposed to go, but there was this hurdle. And, of course, as you said, it's also removing the energy of the people who no longer want to be on that same line. You all of a sudden know you don't want to play that game anymore with them in the same way we did. And they don't like that. You know what I mean? People don't want you to change.
No, they don't, right? They don't like that at all. That is for sure, my friend.
Yeah, you know? And then you start getting all that shit and that energy back at you, you know? Just like you said, your dear friend. Is this, why are you talking about your mother all the time? Why aren't you just over it, you know?
Right, and why are you embarrassing me? And why people just think you're an attention getter. I'm an attention getter because I honor my mother? I mean, look, if I wanted to get attention, I'd take off all my clothes and streak down Sunset Boulevard. Like, I don't think talking about dead mother is the key to instant celebrity. I mean, that's such a strange thing to say.
Exactly.
But I think that people that are not connected to their core, Billy, right? People who don't know how to process their feelings, people who in essence don't know who they are, sometimes they get a little irked that you're trying to get there. It's sort of like when a whole group of people, you know, are alcoholics and one person gets sober and they're all kind of like, well, what's wrong with her? You know what I mean?
That's so funny because I was just about to say that exact thing. And then everybody was like, oh, my God, the alcoholic who's no longer drinking is in here. Well, you know.
Right, oh, judgment. There she is. What's her problem?
Yeah, God, she can't deal with it, you know.
Yeah, totally.
Perfect
true,
example.
Right?
Perfect example.
It's a trip, yeah. So when you are working, especially when you're writing, because you're such a beautiful writer. Do you agree with what I said earlier, that the channel that our spiritual messages come from and the channel our artistic messages come from, they're the same, right?
Exactly. It's all, you're tapping into this energetic flow that's beyond yourself, that's inside yourself, that's around yourself, and you're in this flow. You're, again, like I said before, this kind of wave. I don't know if it was our other one or this one that I said it's almost like you've got this wave behind you and it's just pushing you along, but you're in flow with it. And that's the energy of the universe as you're writing something down. And, you know, I mean, sometimes when you're writing in particular, it doesn't happen. It's just like it's not happening. You just cannot find those words or that flow or that energy for that. And that's why I have a million things going on. I go to the next one. I go to the one where it takes me and where, oh, this is what I have to do. I have to go to this one and I have to put the energy into this particular project or idea or thought. And even if it never happens to go anywhere, I know that that was a very important part of my growth, is to look at this, whatever I'm looking at, because I'm looking at a whole other world. You know, when you're writing stories, you're creating worlds. You're creating worlds that people can watch and they can see and they can feel something that's different possibly than themselves, or it's something within themselves that they see and it can actually trigger something in them, and they can move through things that they don't even realize they're doing just by watching a story. And that's the magic about visualizing or seeing something in front of you that it can assist you as an individual too on your growth and expansion. It's so much more than we think. Everything is so much more than we think, right? So anyway,
absolutely.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And so for you, do you allow messages to come in, spiritual and creative messages, all the time? Or is there times when you're, are there times where you're like, not today, spirit?
Actually, no. And one of the things, though, that I did quiet, shall I say, is there was a time when I had a lot of people talk to me, and people who had passed. I would get a lot of people talking to me. I mean, I went through a whole, like, quite a few years where I'd just walk in the supermarket and they'd say, you got to tell, that's my daughter in front of you. You got to tell her something. And I'm just like, you know, I had to come to a point where I had to quiet that voice, that because that didn't serve. And when it does happen, then I know it's very crucial for me to do something about. That's a whole nother thing in a way. But yes, as far as the creative, it's constant and I listen to it and I act on it. Because I feel like I'm in some kind of, again, going back to that wave, I'm in that thing where it's about, I'm visualizing something that I actually will probably create. I've got so many projects that I'm writing, and I know that I'm going to most likely actually bring it to fruition. It's actually going to be something. And it seems to be coming even more. I mean, I'm not even having to worry about the financing to support it as the way I used to. I pitched just the storyline, which is, I know that's what people do in the industry, and they are giving me money just for pitching the idea. And that's the first time that ever happened to me. You know, usually I had to have a script and all this kind of stuff, and I just said, no, it's about this. And they went, okay. And they came back with how much money they could give me. And I was like, oh, wow, that's interesting. You know?
Isn't that great?
And even when I made, yeah, and even when I made No Goodbyes, I wrote it and I went, oh, well, I guess I'll figure out how to make the financing. I don't know how I'm going to, you know, do it, but I guess I'll just put it out there. And within 2 weeks, I had all the financing for it. And I you know, that's new to me. So that is also being part of that flow, because of course, you know, you go through your process in when you're trying to create stuff, and financing, of course, is the biggest stuff. Is to like, oh, now how am I going to make the money to do it? You know, and that's shifted. So I feel excited and supported to do what I'm doing. Exciting.
That's totally wonderful, and that's the way it should be, right? But I think that's something as artists that we're also not taught is the living in the isness, right? That really we're supposed to live in the now, in this moment, and spirit will tell us what to do next.
Yeah, and that's being clear and being able to hear, and not listening to all the other voices in our heads, you know, and actually being able to tell the difference between the I'm not good enough to the one that this is clear and we can do this, you know.
Right. Absolutely. That's true. Yeah. How do you, is it hard to work on more than one project at once when your heart is so invested in everyone?
No, because I get to point, there seems to be a moment when I'm supposed to breathe in one, you know, like let it breathe for a moment. And that's part of, I think, even the creative of that particular project. I'm supposed to let it breathe for a second. Because I think that also stories, like I've got scripts that I wrote, you know, a few years ago, and I do believe that eventually they'll come to fruition. And there also is a time when they're supposed to be said or created. it's supposed to hit a time in the universe that it fits. And I really believe that. I believe that not everything's supposed to happen exactly when you think it's supposed to happen. We're supposed to give it a moment to let it find and fall into place in the universe. And then it is going to do its best ramifications of what it's supposed to be. I think we've all created something when everything just kind of fell apart, you know, so to speak, and you see that you pushed it so hard to get it done that you didn't let it be where it's supposed to be. That's a definite learning process, you know.
I tell a client every day, Billy, the universe doesn't give a damn about your timeline. Spirit brings things in and tells it when it's time. When it's time for that project, Spirit will let you know.
Exactly. And then it starts picking up its own steam, and then you turn towards it and start giving that love, you know, and going, oh, look what's happening here, you know. Let me give it some love, because it also needs that. It needs some cherishing. And picking up and cradling so it can move forward as well.
Absolutely. But it's hard, right? Because as artists, as young artists, we're taught to sort of panic and think, oh, my God, it's not happening right now. What's happening? You know?
Right.
Everything must happen right now or it's going to go away and never happen. So learning to receive things in the divine timeline and stay in the isness, it's stay in the present, it's a hard thing. Definitely is something you have to.
Yeah, it's a big learning process, and it's not like you can tell someone how to do that. It is truly an individual growth, and it's taken me all my 32 years, I'm kidding with that age, to finally get some grasp, and I know that I can still constantly grow, you know, with even more cleverness, wiser, as I continue this expanse, you know, in this particular body. But I know that every day that I dream of, and I use dream of getting clearer and better, and I don't mean it better, it's not the right word. I think probably clearer is the smartest word, is just to say clearer, so that I am more in tune with everything around me. And it's a constant being aware, right? It's a constant movement forward, and being aware that's where you want to be, and that's where you must be, you know? And at the same time, it's not hard. So it's again, it's all balance.
Absolutely. Yeah. I always say this, and I talk about this a lot during my interfaith services at Saturn MCC. The more I learned to surrender, the more control I had over my life. We think we're taught, right, by humans that life is about, you know, knock on that door and force that to happen and make that happen, and you have to control everything or you're nothing. And the truth is, none of that could be farther from the truth. Really releasing control to spirit and really surrendering and saying to spirit, well, what should I do today? And, you know, getting thrown the, well, today, Billy, it's this project you got to be working on. You never have more control of your life until you release into that. And that was one of the biggest lessons for me. I think that surrender of just waiting to hear, waiting for instructions, right? Because we're all in service. So we're all getting our instructions, and it doesn't mean we don't still have free will. It doesn't mean we're not still doing wonderful things on our own, because we are. It just means that we're waiting for instructions, right?
Right. And again, it's finding that balance in all of that. As I said, it's waiting for that moment and then learning that we have to also give that love, too, towards it. It's like, oh, you're showing me this. Fine, great. Let me move forward with that. And that's, again, it's not something you can definitely learn to teach someone, really. But by talking about it, it could trigger someone to go, oh, you know what I mean? And it is. It has to be a trigger, a vibration. It has to be like a pitch, a pitchfork that just hits you, and all of a sudden you get something. And how you get them is by being reminded by someone else. Because, of course, we're all these spiritual energy beings that know all this information. It's already there. It's just been, a weird word, polluted by this universe in a way. It's been obstructed. The view has been obstructed.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yes. So brilliant. My friend, you are so wonderful. We are out of time. Thank you for being here. Where can people find you online? What do you have coming up? What's out now that people can see, and how can they find you?
I'm on all social media stuff, you know, from Facebook to Instagram to Twitter, and it's all Billy Clift, my name. I have quite a few things on Amazon Prime right now. I have No Goodbyes. That's my passion project at the moment. No Goodbyes has been on for about 4 or 5 months. And it's doing so well. I'm so excited about it. That's the Holocaust survivor film. Of course, my A Long Road to Freedom, my documentary that came out 3 years, Emmy-nominated documentary. It's been about 3 years on also Amazon Prime. And I also have a cooking show called Food Fetish. I have a Behind the Bar show called that's about good drinks, because I'm sorry, but I love a good drink. And
nice.
But I also love good food. So these are ongoing series, Behind the Bar and Food Fetish. Those are, you can find on Amazon Prime. You know, just put my name in and a bunch of stuff will come up these days, which is exciting.
That's amazing.
That's at the moment.
I can't wait to see your face, and I love and adore you, and I thank you for being here.
Well, I love you too as well, Sheena. It is so wonderful to touch with you. I feel like I'm touching you right now, you know, and it,
I like that.
It feels so beautiful.
You can touch me all you want, my friend. I agree, and I can't wait to see you. Take care of you, and I want to do much more radio in the next year together, okay?
Sounds wonderful.
Take care, my friend. The wonderful Billy Clift, everybody. Isn't he fantastic? If you missed the links for him, the SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. That is my website, hauntedplayground.com for the show, liveparanormal.com for the network. And tonight I'm going to be doing my companion show right after this. It's called Haunted Playground After Dark. I'll do some psychic readings. We'll do some spiritual advice. Touch base with y'all, and that's on Live Paranormal's video channel. Facebook.com/TheLiveParanormal. Find me on social media everywhere, Sheena Metal, at Sheena Metal. Until I see you next time, my friends, seek peace, live in love, lead with kindness, embrace unity, always raise your vibration. I love you all, and I'll see you soon. Thank you for this.